Morning, everybody. Does everyone feel like I feel? It seems to be a fairly flat sort of day for most people that I've spoken to so far. Let's open with prayer. Lord, I thank you that you are in our midst and we are here together to worship you, to praise you, to thank you, to remember you and do all the things that we do as a community to serve you, to be your children, to be part of your family. I pray that your word is spoken here today and that people do not go away without having taken something out of it. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, my name's Manny, and I'm a volunteer here. And some of you know me, and some of you wonder why I get the privilege of taking up your attention for the next half hour or so. So, I was born in a Christian home. My father's a pastor, the whole family were Christians. I grew up in a small family-based church, and I knew everything up here about the Bible, about the faith, about things. But personally, I did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I did get baptized because that's the thing you did and I wanted to shut Mum up. But at some point towards the late 20s, I drifted away from God. And then I drifted away from the church. And I spent many years, as I like to call, in the wilderness. First few years were partying and having fun and enjoying life without having to wake up early on Sundays mornings and going to church on Wednesdays and going to church on Sunday afternoon. And then I got married and God blessed me with a wonderful wife and we tried for many years to have children and that's a whole story in and of itself. And then about 13 years ago, we were blessed with our first child. About that time, my wife said, "So when are we going to church?" And I'm like, well, she didn't go to church to start off with. And I thought, well, let's go to church. Through the leading of the Holy Spirit, we ended up at Inglewood, over in the community centre. Again, a story of the Spirit's leading in and of itself. At that point, I kind of decided, all right, I'm back in church now. I think I should take this thing seriously. A few months after we started going to Inglewood, they had a home group Sunday, what we call connect groups these days, where people were invited to come in and sign up and start attending home groups. And there was one led by Mark on Thursday nights. It was a men's group. And I thought, even though I was working evenings and nights then, I thought, that sounds interesting, I want to take part in that. And after being there for a few months, I thought, you know what, short of something really unavoidable, I'm going to make an effort and I'll be here every Thursday night because this is where I feel called to be at this time. It was in that home group and through the Sunday sermons that God started to challenge me, to teach me and to nurture my spiritual life. He used those things that I'd learnt as a child and as a youth and he gave them a context. I began to read the Bible regularly and I actually paid attention to what I was reading. So a few years after being in the home group, at one point Mark comes up to me and he asked me to join the group of people that rotate and present communion to the congregation each week. And I felt honoured to be invited and I sought each time that I was asked to serve to listen to the Spirit's promptings and honestly present what God had put on my heart. The group that I attended had gotten big enough by that stage. It split and I was moved to another group and God continued to challenge me and to speak to me through the people in that group and the way they approached their faith and the way they understood the Holy Spirit and the workings of the Trinity. And so after a few years, when the groups were combined again, a few months after that happened, I was asked to actually start leading the group. And so God just gradually led me in not only knowing what I needed to do so that when I was asked to do it, I could do it. About the same time, Michael O'Neill, the principal of Vice Seminary, now Morling, he started attending church with his wife while they were in transition, and he heard me speak a few times, and he came and he called me again, a call that I'd avoided for many years, and he challenged me. The call was to serve God and to seek Him by studying first, and then to be open to serving in an official capacity, maybe in a ministry position. So I'm here speaking to you today because of community. About 3 years ago, I started studying about part-time. I'm about halfway through my theological degree now. And if it wasn't for community, if it wasn't because at some stage I decided to walk together with others of the same faith, I wouldn't be here today. I'm here today because others saw the potential in me and chose to mentor me and to challenge me to grow in my faith. Now, it's in this community that I fell in love with Jesus and where I first experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and where I grew to maturity as a Christian. So over the summer break, I was going through the book of Colossians again, and as I got to the end, I read a passage that I'd read many times before, and yet I saw it again with new eyes. If I could have the first of the slides up and we can just read through the Bible. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sends greeting. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that his working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be to you. Now, there's a few of these things at the end of Paul's letters. There's a bit in Romans, there's one in 1 Corinthians, there's one in Ephesians, in 2 Timothy. And in the past, they were like the begat sections in the Old Testament. I kind of just skipped over them because they're just funny names and Paul's just name-checking people and just saying, hello, how you going? Everything's fine. Please send help. Now, for many years, I had this vision of Paul as a sort of lone figure that's walking around Asia Minor and Eastern Europe and he's preaching the gospel. And yes, I did know about Luke and I knew about Timothy and I knew about a few others, but it was by reading this passage that I just became aware of the size and the importance of the community that Paul had built around himself and that he was literally walking together with. Community was important to Paul. We are called by community, we are called into community, and once in community, we are called to call others into this community. Community is the centre of God's ongoing work on earth. Now, while God calls us individually to a personal relationship with Him, the way that relationship develops and works itself out is within community. The church is called to be the body of Christ, and in order to be in relationship with Christ, we are called to participate and be part of that church. We are called to be useful and functional members of that body. The local congregation is God's gracious way of enabling us to develop and grow as people of faith. We're not expected to do this alone. Besides Holy Scripture and the Holy Spirit and its essential work in the world and in our hearts, God has generously invited us into his own family. We are adopted as sons and daughters, and this adoption gives us the benefit of community in order that we may walk together and fulfill his wishes. So I wondered, why community? Why walk together with others? Isn't the Bible sufficient? Isn't the presence of the Holy Spirit enough? There are many reasons we find in the Bible, so I've decided to focus on just three things today. If we could have the first image up, please. Now, we are called to learn and to teach and to grow. Now, can anyone recognise that scene? I'll save you some time. That's supposed to be Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch from the story in Acts. And it tells us there, then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, God reveals his will and character in the Bible, and ultimately, he revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. But God also reveals himself and his will through the people that he puts in our lives. There are many things that only experienced people can explain, or those that have a different point of view that can understand certain things that we do not understand. As we've seen from the previous 2 weeks, a new and developing relationship with God can sometimes be overwhelming and sometimes a bit bewildering. Being a Christian can often be confusing. It can be challenging, and sometimes it feels like impractical. Reading the Bible for the first time can be confronting and difficult and unsettling. At the same time, coming to faith can be an exciting and wonderful time when we just need to share with others what we found. We need to share our common experience and grow together. By walking together with others of the same faith, God can teach us through the example of others, through the mentorship of those that are called to mentor, and through the participation with others in the worship of God. In the weekly sermons, we can learn about the character of God. In connect groups, we can delve deeper into Scripture. And in the relationships we develop with our new brothers and sisters, we can experience the love and acceptance of God directly. Walking together can also be challenging. Proverbs tells us, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Imagine you've got the world's best knife made of the world's best steel, and it's not sharp. Anyone ever tried cutting a tomato with a blunt knife? We will be called to see an old truth with new eyes. We'll be called to learn new truths and see solutions to problems we once saw as hopeless. We will be called to step out in faith and do things we thought impossible or too difficult to even attempt. Walking together will help us to grow. Shell mentioned the Psalms of Ascent. I'd completely forgotten about them in preparing this. But these people walked together physically and sang and learned from each other and young and old, they all went to Jerusalem to worship God. And as we grow, we will then be challenged to do the same for others. True learning, as some of the teachers in here understand, true learning not only teaches the pupil, but it also teaches the teacher. So I've learnt more since I've started leading the men's group than I did before, because it puts a certain onus on me and I need to learn and understand. Now, if we look at the life of Paul in the book of Acts. Now, Paul had just met Jesus on the road to Damascus, but still God called Ananias to go to him and to teach him. Now, Ananias was a bit reluctant. He said to God, "Hey, you want me to go and see this murderer?" And God said, "Go." I think there was stuff to be learnt there, both for Ananias in terms of being obedient and also for Paul in terms of what he needed to know about this new faith that he'd been called to. Now, after many, many years in Galatians, Paul tells us he ended up back in Tarsus. About 14 years had passed. And I think if he's sitting there, he's kind of wondering if that vision on the Damascus Road was maybe just an illusion. And it took Barnabas, who Paul previously persecuted, to reach out to see and hear of someone on the margins and to invite him into Antioch. And then God could finally start bringing his plans to fulfillment for Paul's life. Now, as we can see behind us, Philip answered the call. He went to the desert road. And the eunuch had the wisdom and insight to realise he couldn't work it all out by himself. And you know what? The Ethiopian church is still alive and thriving today after more than 2,000 years of challenges and persecution. And it all started with Philip and the eunuch walking or riding together for a little while. God's kingdom is advanced by such small acts of devotion and submission, by saying yes to Jesus in small ways each day, by seeking to reach out to those on the edges and inviting the outsiders inside and seeking humbly to show them a new way to live. Which brings me to my second point. Now, you can see there a field, and it's full of workers. This is triggered by that story in Matthew where he tells us, as Jesus went about his ministry in the villages and towns, proclaiming the gospel and healing the sick, he felt compassion for the crowd surrounding him because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. As he looks around, he turns and he says to these disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Have we looked around at the crowds that surround us each day? Do many of the people in those crowds look harassed and helpless to you? I know they do to me. Christianity is not a spectator sport. You cannot be a Christian and just watch. We are called to participate, each according to our gifts and our experience. We are called for a reason. We are invited by God to participate in the work of his kingdom, and we are not expected to do it alone. The same as you've got several workers there, I'd hate to think how much it would take one person to do all of that harvesting. We walk together because we have a common purpose and because many hands make light work. Now, yesterday morning, I went to my brother's because he's got a garage and he's got tools, and I had some work to do on my wife's car. And as my brother came out and he moved his car out of the way, I said to him, "I just really don't want to do this morning. I just wanted to go back to bed." And he goes, "Yeah, I know the feeling," because he occasionally feels the same. And then he just sat with me and stood by me, and as I was doing my thing, he handed me the right tool that I needed and the part that I needed, and we were chatting, and before I realised it, I was done. And it just literally flew by, and his presence there and the fact that we were doing it together just made it so much better and so much easier. Now, as we have been blessed by God, we are called to be a blessing to others and to help each other out in our common calling in the harvest field of the Lord. We are not only called, but we're sent by God. This is a task that our Master has given us. Which field has been given to you to harvest in? Is it in your own close personal family or your extended family? Maybe it's your fellow co-workers in your job that you go to during the week. Or maybe it's the customers that you come into contact with doing that job. Is it with the people that live in your street? Or the neighbours in your apartment building or your housing block? As we move through the world, do we feel compassion for those around us? Does that overwhelm us? Sometimes it's hard to know where to start. And once started, it sometimes feels hard to go on. We are not called to do it alone, and we cannot do it all by ourselves. Nor does God expect us to. And this is what I realised when I looked at the ministry of Paul, and especially reading that passage. He calls Tychicus and Epaphras fellow servants. He calls Onesimus, Aristarchus, Mark and Justus co-workers. In Romans, he calls Aquila and Priscilla fellow workers. The people he walked together with were his co-workers. They not only helped him to fulfill his mission, they made his task easier and they filled his life with joy. There's camaraderie in walking together, and it's this fellowship that makes our calling a pleasure and a joy to complete. We are called to community for a reason, and that is to work in the fields of the Lord. Walking together with the community of God gives our lives meaning and purpose. And purpose is the final point I would like to make this morning. What is the ultimate purpose of our lives as Christians? Why are we called into the church, into this family of God? And if we can put the final slide up, please. We're called to be fruitful and to flourish. Now, the book of Genesis tells us that when God had created man and woman in his image, he blessed them and called them to be fruitful and increase in number. In the same way, when Jesus was about to be raised back to heaven, he blessed his disciples, this new body of people that bore his image, and he called to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." In effect, he was calling them to be fruitful and to multiply, and to go out into the world and to make more image bearers of Jesus. I once read that the true task of a leader is to make more leaders, not more followers. In today's world, everyone wants to be a leader. And yet Jesus calls us to become followers of him, the one true leader. He calls us to preach the gospel to others and in turn to call them to a life of discipleship. Jesus calls us to a generosity and commands us to pour out all that we have learnt into those around us, the ones that we walk with each day and each week and each year. We are called to a life of obedience to do all that Jesus has commanded us to do. We are called to proclaim the gospel and to make more disciples, called to be fruitful and to multiply as followers of Christ. We're called to reach out to others and to bring them in, to invite them in and to mentor them. Paul met a young man called Timothy on his second journey. And instead of just being a occurrence, Paul sees something in Timothy, and it says that he brought him along with him. Paul mentored him, and throughout Paul's letters we see Timothy become not just a capable student, but a trusted co-worker and a close friend and collaborator of Paul. And Paul, when he meets a runaway slave called Onesimus, rather than ignoring him or maybe chastising him for his foolish actions, Paul has compassion on him. He not only shares the gospel with him, but he writes a letter to his master entreating him to forgive him and to treat him as the fellow brother in Christ that he had now become. In the end, Paul entrusted the leadership of the Ephesian church to Timothy, and as we learnt a few months back from the sermon series on the letter to Philemon, Onesimus potentially became bishop of Ephesus. Walking together helps us to recognise in others the same need of grace that we once received. Walking together encourages us to reach out to those on the margins and invite them into a life of meaning and purpose. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul tells us that when we walk, that we walk together so that we may be equipped for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. So, in conclusion, we walk together because we worship the same God. This God has revealed himself to us in Scripture and through the person of Jesus Christ. Through Jesus and his sacrifice for us, we are put in right relationship with God. Now, this relationship is individual, but it is lived out in community. We are adopted into the family of God and called to live out our lives in community with this new spiritual family. We walk together because God speaks to us today through the people in our lives. We walk together because together we can learn from one another and we build each other up and challenge each other to grow together in Christ. We walk together because sometimes life is hard, and following Jesus can be overwhelming, and it's difficult to face another day by ourselves. We walk together because the fields are full and ripe and the harvest is ready and there are not enough workers. God invites us into his kingdom and asks us to share with him in the work of that kingdom. Now, God can do it all himself. It's an immense privilege what he's inviting us to do. And it benefits us far more than it benefits God. In order to help us to grow in our understanding of him and to fully develop into the people that he created us to be, he graciously invites us in and gives us a task and a mission and a purpose. Now, I'm not a monarchist, so I have to think in republican ways. And so if the Premier of the state or the Prime Minister of the country asked me personally to do something for my community, I would feel greatly honoured, but at the same time I'd feel a bit bewildered and surprised. And yet it is such people in public service that get the task of government done and deliver a raft of benefits to its citizens. In the same way, God calls us to be about his business and he blesses us with community in order to make the work easier and the experience fulfilling and joyous. As the kingdom of God manifests in our lives and the lives of those in our faith community, the kingdom starts to grow and to improve the life of the entire community that we live in. And as we proclaim the gospel and make more disciples, this kingdom gains strength and the brokenness of the world around us starts to heal. Jesus came so we can be saved, and as we receive the benefits of this salvation, we are called to share the good news with others. As we sang together earlier, you know, the church he is building, nothing can stop it. It's a city that's shining, a light in the darkness. That's what we're called to be, that shining city in the darkness. And the brighter we shine, the further back that the darkness is driven. We walk together in community because by building each other up and sharing the task together, we build the kingdom of God. And we look forward with expectancy to that moment when Jesus returns and we can finally live in the presence of God as we were created to live in the first place. One day we will all stand before the judgment seat when our Master has returned, and we will be asked to give an accounting of our lives and how we have used the many blessings that God has given us. And on that day, I'm sure we would all like to hear our Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness."